Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, September 16th. Pompeo to headline Life Center's fundraiser. Executive Director, event helps continue tradition of conservatives supporting Republicans and people of conservative values, by Stuart Doreen. The Life Center will have its fall benefit on October 25th at the Horseshoe, and former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be the guest speaker. Pompeo adds to the list of high-profile conservative speakers to attend the Life Center events, joining former Congressman Trey Gowdy, Alan West, and Jason Chaffetz, former Governor Mike Huckabee, Jay Sekulow, and former Housing Secretary Ben Carson. Judy Rouse, Executive Director of the Life Center, said Pompeo continues the tradition of conservatives coming to a place which has a good reputation for supporting Republicans and people of conservative values. She added the center has generous donors who help underwrite the event. The Life Center, according to its website, supports mothers and fathers experiencing a pregnancy and promotes sexual wellness in the West Texas community. The event is typically one of the larger fundraisers in the community. Last year, center officials reported more than 1,500 attended. Pompeo served as director of the CIA, as Secretary of State, and as a four-term congressman representing the Kansas 4th District. His biography also states he graduated first in his class at West Point, was the editor of the Harvard Law Review, and in 2021 founded Champion American Values, PAC. Rouse described the fall benefit as the main fundraiser for the Midland nonprofit, which also has satellite offices in Odessa, Big Spring, and Andrews. She said that the center is currently equipping Odessa to expand services such as treatment and information for sexually transmitted diseases, the men's program, and a mothering program for responsible youth to help those west of Midland, including into the Trans-Pecos region. God is so good, Rouse said, and helps keep us on people's radar and drawing people so we can be a light in darkness. Rouse states that recently New Mexico has appropriated $10 million for abortion centers, including those that can serve people along the border with Texas. That means the Life Center will dedicate more resources for women who have abortions out of state and are not doing well, post-abortion care, she said. Those interested in the event can go to tlcdonor.org/events. Those interested in helping the center financially in other ways can call the Life Center, she said. Rouse said she has been with the Life Center since 1993 and served as its director since 1995. The center was founded in 1979, she said. At a glance, fall fundraiser, the Life Center, 6:30 p.m. October 25th, Horseshoe Pavilion, former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo as speaker. tlcdonor.org/fall-fundraiser. Online, tlcdonor.org/events. Those interested in helping the center financially can call 432-570-7745. Portraits, Stories, and Forever Connections. One Accord for Kids hopes Heart Gallery of West Texas will unite children with families. Many West Texas children are waiting for their forever homes, and many West Texas families can provide the lifetime love and stability these children need. The challenge is bringing these two groups together. One Accord for Kids believes its Heart Gallery of West Texas can provide a solution to this problem. The gallery features quality portraits and stories of local children waiting to be adopted. Meanwhile, families looking to adopt can view the gallery, make an inquiry on a child, and the child's caseworker will reach out. One Accord for Kids works with photographers to schedule foster kids' photo shoots for Heart Gallery of West Texas. These photographers volunteer their time and skills to help foster kids across West Texas. About One Accord for Kids. One Accord for Kids is a West Texas-based organization that aims to bring a change on the current foster care system in the region. The organization currently provides programs, including Family Help West Texas, a search engine that helps families locate free and reduced-cost services. They also work with many other organizations across West Texas to help support the foster care system and foster kids. Online, oneaccordtx.org/programs/heart-gallery. Tall City Brewing to Host Festival by Morgan Taylor Thomas. From local breweries to canned imports, craft beer continues to infiltrate West Texas, shining light on the delicate and tedious process of creating the perfect brew. Hoping to enlighten the Permian Basin even further and introduce other shops to the area, Tall City Brewing will hold an invitational Saturday unlike any other, featuring 13 Lone Star breweries, 2 out of state, a winery, and High Cider. With more than 75 taps on the bill, this festival not only ensures an afternoon overflowing with enticing, grainy sips, but also a gathering of like-minded connoisseurs, educating patrons and clinking mugs to the maturity of a simple ingenuity. There's no shortage of events bringing together huge numbers of breweries, but they weren't exactly the kind of vision we were going for, Stephen Alexander, Tall City's sales and marketing manager, told the MRT. We wanted to celebrate the city of Midland, Tall City Brewing, craft beer, West Texas, and breweries coming together. It's such a better experience for everyone when the brewery ownership, brewers, and staff are at a festival. They want to showcase their best beers for each other, and it creates such a different vibe. The Invitational, also known as Squad Up 2022, takes place from 3 to 7 p.m. at 3303 West Golf Course Road. For non-alcoholic drinkers, Glazer's Beer and Beverage will be providing thirst quenchers along with free spring drinking water. As for food, The Kitchen by Laurie, Jamin Nimnitz, and Gillis Mobile Diner will all be parked by the patio. Live music will be providing extra entertainment, and no one under 21, including infants, will be allowed to enter the festival. Tickets can be bought at tallcitybrewing.com/tall-city-invitational. For more information on what a ticket gets each customer, as well as a list of prohibited items and other frequently asked questions, visit tallcitybrewing.com/invitational-info. Wondering what kind of flavors and people you may meet? Check out the menu from all 18 crews below, including what some of them have to say about the craft beer family. Brick Vault Brewing and Barbecue Marathon. Established in 1886, Brick Vault will be bringing 4 beverages to town for guests to enjoy. For a pale ale, try their Blue Quail with an ABV of 5.2%. Dampf Rock, 6.2% ABV, will represent in the Dampf Beer category. Sour Dweezel, 4.5% ABV, in the Berliner Weiss, and Trost, 5.3% ABV for Vienna Lager. Online, Brick Vault Brewery and BBQ.com. Chateau Wright Winery, Fort Davis. Created in 2011, Chateau didn't produce its first wine until 2016. Proof that good drinks take time. James Smith, the winery's POI, said, "We do Rhone-style wines with varietals from that region of France, but with some Texas influence and terroir. We hand prune, harvest, and bottle all of our wines in-house at our winery and tasting room in the Davis Mountains. Chateau will bring Mitre Red, a dry medium body with 12.5% ABV, Heraldic Red, a dry full body with 14.5% ABV, Starboard, a sweet option with 15% ABV, and Chateau White, a dry blend with 13% ABV, to Saturday's festivities. Online, ChateauWright.com. Drylands Brewing Company, Lovington, New Mexico. This New Mexico collection will be bringing three tasters. Smurfberry stands as a blueberry blonde with an ABV of 5.2%, while Golden Boy pours as a classic pale ale with a 5% ABV. For those who like something a little darker, try Amber Ale Drylands Amber with an ABV of 6%. Drylandsbrewing.com. Eccentric Brewing Company, Midland. Local duo Jamie L. and Aaron Packelhofer joined the party as well with three drinks. The brewery celebrated its fourth birthday in July with the release of a new ale, Pork Barrel Ale, which was aged in a whiskey barrel for 10 months. Since then, the team has continued to experiment with their grains. For Saturday's shindig, Eccentric will highlight their flagship, APA Pig Slayer, which contains a 6% ABV, a double IPA known as Tactical Nuke MK1 with 9% ABV, and Fest Beer Oktoberfest with a 7.3% ABV. EccentricBrewery.com. Good Line Beer Company, Lubbock. Hailing just a little bit from the north, the people over at Good Line come stacked with a wide variety, satisfying just about any taste bud imaginable. Here's what the company had to say about each. Clouds of Fog, 7.2% ABV. This is a very spot-on hazy IPA. It checks all the boxes for a New England-style IPA, with notes of citrus, pithiness, grapefruit, pineapple, and a little dankness while finishing semi-dry, so it's not too heavy or sweet. Electric Candle, 5.3% ABV, a dark German-style lager with notes of coffee and dark chocolate, but still finishes dry and is very drinkable. We call it a sundown beer, perfect for evenings around a campfire. Range Life, 4.5% ABV, by far the best-selling beer in our tap room. It's a northern-style German-style pils, meaning it's dry and hoppy. We describe it as snappy, super crushable, and crisp. I'm a Lot Like You, 6.9% ABV, a collaboration we brewed with Pondaceta. It's a cold IPA, which is a newish style, taking all the notes of a big juicy IPA, but fermented with a lager yeast so it's dry and very drinkable. GoodLineBeer.com. Grain Theory, Abilene. With a shared interest in the brewing of the grain, Matthew Cogburn, David Castleman, and Jeremy Sively opened Grain Theory in 2020. Now the brick and mortar offers a full kitchen, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as well as 12 different beers and a pour-your-own system. Castleman said, "We're thrilled to join a long list of other great craft breweries to showcase the quality and unique flavors available with craft beer." The trio will serve the following: seasonal malty and crisp amber lager, Oktoberfest, 5.9% ABV, dessert-inspired fruity pastry, sour blackberry crumbler, 5% ABV, and hazy double IPA, heavy metal hula, 8% ABV. GrainTheory.beer. Familia Fest to honor Hispanic heritage, open to community, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. With a successful and impactful debut under their belt, Casa de Amigos will host the second annual Familia Fest from 5 to 7 tonight at 1101 Garden Lane. Held on Mexican Independence Day and coinciding with National Hispanic Heritage Month, Casa de Amigos Development Director Sheena Green spoke to the Reporter Telegram about the significance of community recognition and engagement. "We serve a lot of Hispanics in the West Texas community, so we want to show our support," Green said. "We're a multicultural community center, so I feel like we bridge that gap of better understanding other heritages and cultural differences. Casa de Amigos is here, and we have various amounts of services and resources to offer the community, not just during Hispanic Heritage Month, but throughout the year. The festivities include folkloric dances by the Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland, live mariachi games such as limbo, water balloon toss, and jumbo Jenga. Door prizes raffled every 15 minutes with items such as Domino's coupons and Dairy Queen dilly bars and food. The indoor area will include Casa de Amigos information stations while the fun happens out front. Admission is free and open to everyone. Established in 1964, the Casa de Amigos aims to empower community members to meet their individual and family needs through youth and adult education, senior services, social services, and health wellness. UT names Sparks as Distinguished Engineering Graduate. Jeff Sparks was awarded a Distinguished Engineering Graduate Award from the Cockrell School of Engineering at the University of Texas at Austin. This honor is for outstanding service to his alma mater, achievement of engineering excellence, and a commitment to education. Sparks has a petroleum engineering degree, 1983, and serves on the UT Engineering Advisory Board. Sparks, a former member of the Midland City Council, is the Chief Operating Officer for Discovery Operating, Inc., and serves on the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's Executive Board, and as Independent Petroleum Association's Regional Vice President. Former reporter telegram publisher Irish dies. George B. Irish, Vice President and Eastern Director of the William Randolph Hearst Foundation of California and the Hearst Foundation, Inc. of New York, died of a heart attack Tuesday at his home in New Jersey. He was 78. Irish's work with Hearst included serving as the publisher at the Midland Reporter-Telegram, 1982-84. Former Reporter-Telegram publisher Charlie Spence told the Reporter-Telegram this week that Irish provided great leadership for the newspapers he led and for Hearst as well. Spence followed Irish as the publisher in Midland and said that Irish was recognized as one of the top guys in the industry and that he had a great appreciation for the Midland market and the people who worked here. The Hearst Foundation's philanthropy over the years included donations to the New Opportunity Park in Northwest Midland. He loved Midland, Texas, Spence said. When they offered another job in Beaumont, it hurt him that he had to leave. He loved it here. He loved the people and the community. Irish was dedicated to the business of newspapers, serving on industry boards and heading print organizations throughout his career. He lived in 8 different cities during his career, ultimately residing in both New York and Texas. In 1998, as Hearst Senior Vice President and President of Hearst Newspapers, Irish led the newspaper group as it expanded its investments in print and online operations, along with its journalistic enterprise in the digital era. Before heading Hearst Newspapers, he was a vice president and group executive for the unit for 5 years. Previously, he was the publisher of several Hearst dailies since he joined the corporation in 1979 when it acquired the Midland, Michigan Daily News. Besides the Daily News, Irish was subsequently publisher of the Reporter-Telegram, the Beaumont Enterprise, and the San Antonio Light. I had the great fortune to work for and with George for more than 20 years, said Stephen R. Swartz, president and chief executive officer of Hearst. He was a wonderful man, a dedicated executive, and a much-loved member of our Hearst community, and of all the communities he served so well. After retiring from Hearst in 2008, Irish played an important role at the Hearst Foundations, leading its Eastern team along with Paul Dino Dinovitz, executive director and head of its Western operations. Separate from the corporation, the Hearst Foundations are national philanthropic resources for organizations working in the fields of culture, education, health, and social services. In addition, the William Randolph Hearst Foundation operates 2 programs, the United States Senate Youth Program and the Journalism Awards Program. Since its inception, the foundations have made over 22,200 grants to 6,300 organizations, totaling more than $1.4 billion in funds awarded. George was a member of our family, said William Randolph Hearst III, chairman of the board of directors of Hearst, president of the William Randolph Hearst Foundation, and a director of the Hearst Foundation, Inc. We are deeply saddened by his passing, but filled with gratitude for his many years of stewardship, professional wisdom, and especially his friendship. Virginia Hearst Rant, president of the Hearst Foundation, said, George made the world a better place in business, in philanthropy, and as a friend. Among his career achievements, Irish received the 1992 Texas Newspaper Leader of the Year Award, known as the Pat Taggart Memorial Award, the highest honor given by Texas newspapers. A past president of the Texas Daily Newspaper Association, Irish then served on the boards of the Newspaper Association of America, now known as the News Media Alliance, the International Center for Journalists, the Reed Foundation, the Nieman Foundation Board of Advisors, and the Columbia Journalism School Board of Visitors. Irish was predeceased by his first wife, Mary Redig Irish, who died in 2005. He is survived by a daughter, Sandra Irish Draper, her husband, Kyle Thomas Draper, and their son, daughter Christine Irish Sheedy, her husband Malcolm Joseph Sheedy, and their sons. A third daughter, Diane Leslie Irish, died in infancy. Irish is also survived by his brothers, Charles Irish of Centerville, Ohio, and John Irish of Toledo, Ohio. He is predeceased by his brother, Thomas Patrick Pat Irish. He is survived by his wife, Jeannie Weatherhill Irish, stepdaughter Jane Ann Puccio, her husband William J. Puccio, and their children, of Newtown, Pennsylvania, and stepdaughter Amy Weatherill Cooley, her husband Michael Cooley, and their children, of Villanova, Pennsylvania. Funeral arrangements will be announced at a later date. 3 inches of rain falls in some parts of Midland, by Stuart Doreen. Rain gauges overflowed Wednesday night, especially in North Midland, as the region's rainy season continued. While the National Weather Service reported 0.57 inch fell at Midland International Airport, reports of as much as 3 inches happened in Northwest Midland on social media. Consistent reports of 2 inches were reported in North Midland, including around 2 inches in Greentree, and 2.23 to 2.59 inches in 349 Corridor, east of State Highway 349, north of Loop 250. In central Midland, the totals reported on the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network mapping system were more pedestrian, from 0.83 to 1.32 inches inside the loop and across the city. South of downtown, there were reports of 0.66 and 0.73 inches. The NWS reported that the rainfall total on Wednesday pushed the yearly total to 6.93 inches, which is 3.19 inches below average through Wednesday. Midland man arrested for alleged indecency with child, by Mercedes Cordero. A Midland man was arrested last week on a warrant after allegedly inappropriately touching a juvenile. Ansel Mariscal, 20, was charged with indecency with a child by sexual contact. Mariscal has been released on bond. Midland County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to a disturbance call on August 27th, where a 15-year-old made an outcry of being molested by Mariscal. The alleged incident occurred in July 2020, according to the arrest affidavit. During an interview on August 31st at the Children's Advocacy Center, the victim stated Mariscal had gotten into her bed on a series of nights and touched her inappropriately. The victim stated during the interview she didn't tell anyone about the incidents until now because separate incidents occurred and she was afraid no one would believe her. Obituary from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday. Patty Mae Anderson, 89, of Midland, passed away Sunday, September 11th, at her residence. Patty was born December 4th, 1932, to Reeves and Barney Smith in Brownfield, Texas. She was preceded in death by her husband Bill N. Anderson, parents sister Christine Waddell, brother Calvin Smith, and daughter Greta Anderson Kirby. Patty is survived by her son Maurice Story of Dallas, daughter Jan Anderson Hunt, and husband Daryl of El Paso, sister Dorothy McQuarrie of Midland, grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren. A visitation for Patty was held Thursday, September 15th at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home in Midland. A funeral service will occur Friday, September 16th from 2 to 3 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home with Terry Pafford of West Side Church of Christ officiating. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or West Side Church of Christ Preacher Training Fund, 4410 West Illinois, Midland, Texas, 79703. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Anderson family.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, September 16th, 2022. 3 indicted in Odessa starvation death. An Ector County grand jury has indicted 3 people on murder charges in the January death of a Down syndrome woman. According to their indictments, Justin Rains, 30, Elvira Luera, 28, and Christine Rains Villalta Claros, 48, quote, intentionally and knowingly caused the death of an individual, namely Brenda Rains, by preventing the complainant from receiving adequate food and or water, end quote. The trio were also indicted on 1 count each of inquiry of injury to a disabled person. The trio remain in the Ector County Jail on $500,000 bonds and are scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday by Judge Den Whalen of the 70th Ector County District Court. Odessa Police Department reports show officers responded to the 6500 block of Amber Drive on January 29th about a deceased person. When officers arrived, they found an, quote, extremely underweight, end quote, Brenda Rains, deceased, covered in severe bed sores and on a crib mattress that was on a floor covered in dog feces and urine, the report stated. The reports indicate Christine Claros was Brenda's sister. Justin Rains and Elvira Luera were also related to the victim, and all 4 lived together at the Amber Drive address. According to the report, the 3 told officers Rains was unable to walk, speak, feed herself, bathe herself, or use the bathroom. Claros told investigators she was the sole caretaker of Rains, but if she left the home for a short time, she'd have Luera take care of her. She also said she'd never leave Rains overnight. However, investigators indicated in their report that video surveillance showed Claros left the home at 7:38 p.m. January 28th and didn't return until 3:07 p.m. January 29th. Luera and Justin Rains told investigators they did not check on Rains at all during that time frame. An autopsy revealed Rains starved to death, and a medical examiner ruled her death a homicide, according to the report. When interviewed again, Justin Rains and Luera told investigators Claros would leave Rains in the bedroom with the door closed frequently and would not come back for up to 3 days at a time, the report stated. The couple said they would sometimes feed Rains, but sometimes she'd go 2 days at a time without being fed. The couple also indicated they would not change Rains' diaper or bathe her while Claros was gone, the report stated. Quote, they indicated the only bathing Brenda received was an occasional sponge bath from Christine, end quote, the investigators wrote in the report. Quote, it was also advised Brenda was unable to leave her bed and no one would ever remove her from it for any reason. Brenda spent approximately 3 months in the filthy room on the mattress with 4 dogs before she ultimately died, end quote. Justin Rains and Elvira Luera were booked into the Ector County Jail on July 25th on suspicion of knowingly causing serious bodily injury to a disabled person, a first-degree felony. They were released 2 days later after posting $125,000 surety bonds. Claros was arrested by the Houston Police Department the same day. Online jail records show the trio were booked into the jail on the murder charge Wednesday. Fighting back. Speaker Landgraf blasts EPA. Federal agencies threaten shutdown of Basin's energy industry draws ire. Texas House Speaker Dade Phelan joined State Representative Brooks Landgraf in Odessa Thursday to charge that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is dangerously exceeding its authority by threatening to declare the Permian Basin a, quote, non-attainment area, end quote, and shut down its oil and natural gas production. In a 2:30 p.m. outdoor news conference south of town with the gas-powered Quail Run Power electrical generation plant in the background, Phelan said all of the state's political power is being applied to stop the EPA from wrecking the area economy and throwing tens of thousands of people out of work. Quote, this is important not just to the Permian Basin and the state of Texas. It's important to the entire country for our national security, end quote, Phelan said before 20 members of the Oil and Gas Workers Association, citing greatly boosted energy tax revenues that will enable the Texas legislature to fund roads, schools, and infrastructure here and across the state in next year's legislative session in Austin. The Beaumont Republican said the area's oil and gas production, quote, is cleaner than other global producers. Quote, Russia is flaring 239% more methane than Permian Basin, end quote, Phelan said. Quote, President Biden traveled all the way to Saudi Arabia to ask them to increase their production. What he didn't do was come to the state of Texas and ask us to increase our production. We take our stewardship of the environment very seriously, and we are working hand in hand with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, which is an excellent agency. I trust Texans to manage our natural resources, end quote. Asked if the legislature will allocate more money for roads, schools, and water infrastructure in the basin, Phelan said it must attend to infrastructure because none of the 1,037 people who are moving into the state each day are bringing any infrastructure like high-speed internet with them. He said improving regional transportation will be high on his agenda, as will the public schools. Quote, 38% of our budget is for public education, and we will continue to maintain our commitment there, end quote, the speaker said. In opening remarks, Landgraf said he and Phelan, Governor Greg Abbott, Congressman August Pfluger, and other state officials will fight the EPA to the last ditch to stop an oil and gas shutdown. Quote, we all know that earlier this summer, the EPA handed down that they were contemplating reclassifying the Permian Basin a non-attainment area, which would be devastating, end quote, Landgraf said. Quote, we are here on a very nice, clear, beautiful day, breathing clean Texas air, and we are proud that the state has worked hard to make sure we balance having clean air, that we are proud of our children to breathe, while also being the oil and gas epicenter of the entire globe, end quote. Landgraf said the EPA is basing its assessment of the basin's air quality entirely on testing in four monitors 100 miles away in Lee and Eddy counties in New Mexico. And he said Texas, quote, is pushing back against the Biden administration's overreach. If they are going to mess with Texas, they've got a fight on their hands, end quote, the attorney said. Quote, we will not stand idly by while this attack takes place on Texas soil, end quote. Third world pollution defies remedy. National oil companies back terrorism and human trafficking. Oil and natural gas producing third world countries are some of the worst polluters in the world, but they're immune to industrial and diplomatic opprobrium because they are indifferent to the damage they're causing. Permian Basin International Oil Show President Larry Richards and State Representative Brooks Landgraf say the national oil companies of those nations are being encouraged by the Biden administration to worsen their pollution and that they often use their oil money to finance terrorism and human trafficking. Richards has worked in more than 20 nations, and he says Iraq, Libya, Nigeria, Sudan, South Sudan, Venezuela, Angola, Russia, and Mexico, among others, are good examples of willy-nilly polluters. Quote, look at South America, the Middle East, North Africa, Eastern Europe, and the Far East, anywhere natural gas is vented or flared, end quote, Richards said. Quote, the U.S. and Canada combined have the lowest methane emissions exponentially of any oil and gas countries in the world. Move into the third world and their flared gas and methane emissions are dramatically higher. Quote, the systemic reasons most of the time are that those countries have national oil companies, end quote. Richard said the oil and gas division of Pemex, Mexico's NOC, are bureaucratic enemies, and much of the methane from Mexican oil wells is vented or flared because the wells are not connected to gas pipelines. Quote, the two groups don't like each other, so they don't talk and don't play well together, end quote, he said. Quote, the United States energy industry is the cleanest in the world. Using best practices, we do it as cleanly as we can in West Texas, but we haven't done a good job of defending ourselves as an industry. That's why I get frustrated when people want to import our oil instead of developing it domestically, end quote, Richards said. Adding that American soil is much cleaner than most foreign oil, and thereby much easier to refine. He said oil and gas have lifted the globe out of abject poverty. Quote, 200 years ago, over 80% of the people in the world were living on the equivalent of $1.90 a day per family, end quote. The retired Odessa business executive said, now it's 8%. Quote, now it's 8%. Since the Drake well was drilled in Pennsylvania in 1849, having inexpensive, reliable energy has allowed us to evolve to a standard of living that our ancestors couldn't have. Quote, synthetic fertilizers from natural gas provide half of the world's food, end quote. Landgraf said Biden's policies are spreading pollutants across the world. Quote, by doing everything in their power to curb American oil and natural gas production, and by calling on foreign, nationally owned oil companies to ramp up production, the Biden Green New Dealers are increasing global emissions on a significant scale, end quote, the Odessa Republican said. Quote, thanks to technological advances and the good old-fashioned West Texas work ethic, the Permian Basin is the cleanest major oil field on Earth, and it's only getting cleaner. Despite constant attack from the radical left, the new technologies that are allowing oil and gas to be produced with fewer emissions have actually made the Texas energy industry more efficient and profitable than ever before. Quote, on top of all that, revenues generated by Texas energy producers provide high-paying jobs and help fund public schools and infrastructure. Meanwhile, the world's worst polluters are using revenue from their nationalized energy operations to fund crimes against humanity, from human trafficking to the 9/11 terrorist attacks and a million tragedies in between, end quote. Landgraf said support for American oil and gas promotes freedom and liberty in the United States and throughout the world. Quote, Texas will continue to lead the way in providing the cleanest, most affordable energy on Earth, end quote, he said. Hart Gallery of West Texas puts faces to names. One accord could unite foster kids, foster families. Midland. In the plaza of Centennial Park on Thursday morning, One Accord for Kids featured 9 portraits of teenagers up for adoption. The portraits are part of the Hart Gallery of West Texas, which is a gallery that provides quality portraits and stories of local children waiting to be adopted. Matt Waller, the associate director for One Accord for Kids, explained the importance of the gallery is to help put faces to names of children in foster care. Quote, with this program, we can put a face with a name, end quote, Waller said. Quote, it's really special to get a really good portrait of them, end quote. Jamie Poe, the West Texas program director for Addie's Hope Adoption Agency, talked about the seriousness of having teenagers adopted into forever families rather than age out of the foster care system. According to Poe, as of June 30th, there have been 501 teens that aged out of the foster care system. Quote, this gallery is really a heartstring puller, end quote, Poe said. Quote, people need to know these are kids in their community that are available for adoption. Truthfully, if they don't get adopted, they will age out of the system, and statistics for kids that age out at 18 aren't good, end quote. The Hart Gallery of West Texas is comprised of volunteers and paid photography. Rhonda Iraton, a volunteer photographer, spoke to the Odessa American on Thursday morning about donating her time and talent to help children in foster care. Iraton said she has had a lifelong passion for photography, and she said about 4 years ago she started taking classes through Midland College's continuing education. She said the purpose was to take better pictures of her grandchildren. Quote, I have a special place in my heart for foster children, hoping they will be adopted into their forever family, end quote, Iraton said. Quote, I spent a long time learning how to take good pictures, and I'm always willing to take a picture, and I would never ask for any compensation. It's a hobby that I love, end quote. Waller said there's a special investment made when someone offers their time and talents rather than paying a photographer. He said the Hart Gallery of West Texas does include paid photographers. As he explained, most of the volunteers are retired, so they just have to work around their schedule. If someone wants to get involved with One Accord for Kids, the link is tinyurl.com/mpnkxnt7. Quote, it's one thing to pay somebody to do a job, but when you get volunteers, you get buy-in, end quote, Waller said. Quote, you get people who their hearts are into it. We had a volunteer that was ready to take a photo at Centennial Park, but there was a change of plans on a dime, and she went out to Big Spring and shot some incredible pictures, end quote. Poe said if someone is interested about adoption, Addie's Hope Adoption Agency hosts an information meeting on Zoom once a month. The next information meeting will be 7 p.m. October 17th. Quote, we are an adopt-only agency, so our main program is placing these kids and other kids that are in CPS care up for adoption into an adoptive home, end quote, Poe said. Quote, we don't foster. We take you into the process of having this child in your home forever, end quote. Poe added, quote, the biggest obstacle in adoption for people is fear. People don't know they can do it. They don't know where to start. They don't know what the long term will look like. The truth is that none of us have a crystal ball. The thing that we try to do is really equip our families to provide care for the children in their home. Even though there is some fear in that, the reality is you can do it if you are committed to it. You can adopt. You can be successful if you commit to it. End quote. Panda Express hosts Give Back Day for CMN. From 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. today, Panda Express in Odessa will donate 20% of their sales to Children's Miracle Network and Medical Center Health System, a press release detailed. The money raised will go directly to fund vital treatments, charitable care, and equipment for the pediatric and NICU units. Customers may contribute by ordering online at pandaexpress.com or through the app and entering 340-540 in the fundraiser code box. Customers can also contribute by ordering in person by showing the flyer on their smartphone. Man sentenced to 3 years for bomb hoax. Midland. An Odessa man was sentenced Tuesday to 41 months in prison for his involvement in a bomb hoax at the Ector County Courthouse, a Department of Justice press release detailed. According to court documents, on April 7, 37-year-old David Paul Finnegan left a suspicious device at the front steps of the Ector County Courthouse. The device consisted of a large PVC pipe containing miscellaneous objects. It was held together with black tape and had a wristwatch taped to it. The Odessa Police Department Explosives Ordnance Disposal Team was called out to examine the device. After the EOD technicians rendered it safe, they determined the device did not contain explosives. Further investigation revealed Finnegan was scheduled to have hearings on various matters at the courthouse the day he planted the device. As a result of its discovery, the courthouse was evacuated and shut down to the public for much of the day, causing various court proceedings to be postponed, including Finnegan's. On June 13th, Finnegan pleaded guilty to one count of perpetrating a hoax. Finnegan has remained in federal custody since his arrest on April 14th. Quote, not only did this bomb hoax cause the Ector County Courthouse and multiple local businesses to be shut down, but the event also required federal and local law enforcement agencies to expend significant time, resources, and taxpayer dollars to render the area safe and identify the perpetrator, end quote. U.S. Attorney Ashley C. Hoff stated in the press release. Quote, let this prosecution send a strong message that such behavior will not be tolerated in our communities, end quote. Quote, hoax threats are dangerous to first responders and to the victims because it is not always immediately clear whether it is a hoax and the motivation behind the threat, end quote. Jeffrey R. Downey, special agent in charge of the FBI El Paso field office, stated in the press release. Quote, public safety is paramount, and the FBI and our state and local law enforcement partners always respond to each threat. Anyone who issues a hoax threat will be held accountable. Due to the collaborative work with our local, state, and federal partners, we were able to locate Mr. Finnegan and bring him to justice for the fear he instilled into the residents of Odessa, end quote. The FBI, with valuable assistance from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the Ector County Sheriff's Office, Odessa Police Department, and the Texas Department of Public Safety, investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Fedick prosecuted the case. Transient accused of injuring UTPB officer. A 34-year-old transient was in the Ector County Jail Thursday after being accused of beating two realty company employees and breaking the thumb of one of the officers who arrested him. According to the Odessa Police Department, officers received a disturbance call around 11 a.m. Tuesday from the 4000 block of Lakeside Drive. When officers arrived, two women told them they were in the process of removing a lockbox from the residence when they were attacked from behind by a man later identified as Chaz Scarborough. The women said during the attack, Scarborough told them the house was his. One of the women, 41, said Scarborough grabbed her phone from her hand and threw it to the ground, shattering it, and the other woman, 51, said she was thrown to the ground and punched in the face repeatedly, according to the report. The women informed officers the old and new lockbox were missing from the home as well as tools, the report stated. According to a University of Texas Permian Basin report, a UTPB officer found Scarborough walking through the Market Street parking lot at 42nd Street and John Ben Shepherd Parkway and told him to stop multiple times, but he refused. Multiple officers tackled Scarborough, who screamed he wasn't under arrest while they tried to handcuff him, the report stated. During the struggle, a UTPB sergeant suffered a broken thumb. One of the women identified Scarborough as her attacker when they drove by her to verify Scarborough was the right suspect, according to the report. Scarborough was arrested on an outstanding warrant for possession of marijuana and on suspicion of the following crimes: evading arrest / detention causing serious bodily injury, resisting arrest, and two counts of robbery. He's being held in jail on surety bonds totaling $82,000. OPD makes fighting arrest. The Odessa Police Department has arrested one juvenile for fighting, class C assault, resulting from a fight near Starbucks, 5011 East 42nd Street. An OPD spokeswoman said to check with the Ector County ISD police for another one. No information was available from ECISD. More than $30 million in trucks, oil-filled equipment, sold at auction. Odessa saw two competitive auction companies, Machinery Auctioneers and Superior Energy Auctioneers, come together for a common goal, a press release detailed. On Tuesday, oil-filled equipment, trucks, heavy equipment, and other items were auctioned in person and online. The auction saw nearly 2,000 registered bidders from all 50 states and 17 foreign countries. With more than 71,000 catalog views, 498 lots were sold over a single-day auction totaling more than $30 million. With their growing customer base and continued ability to provide high-value, competitive auctions to their customers, this past sale provided another indication of the future for the company. Quote, "We partnered with Superior because they're the leaders in the oil field industry, and we know trucks like nobody else. We've had several customers say this was the most impressive spread of trucks and equipment they've seen anywhere this year. We think we delivered that yesterday," end quote. Terry Dickerson, CEO Machinery Auctioneers, stated in the press release. In light of the shortage of equipment, trucks, and other vital resources necessary for oil production in the Permian Basin, this auction featured many high-value lots that were of immense interest to those in the industry. Featured were trucks, coil tubing units, nitrogen and frac pumps, and other oil-filled equipment. For more information, go to machineryauctioneers.com or superiorauctioneers.com. PSP announces two new members. Midland. The Permian Strategic Partnership announced Thursday the addition of two new companies, Kintec and Waterbridge Resources, bringing its member company count to 19. Quote, "We are thrilled to welcome Kintec, Waterbridge, and their respective board members Matt Wall and Jason Long to our team," end quote. Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of PSP, said in a news release, quote, "These companies bring tremendous talent and passion for the Permian Basin to the table. They are enjoying the PSP at a time when we have seen transformational initiatives in our 3 short years. We look forward to maintaining our momentum and making lasting impacts across the Permian Basin together," end quote. Adding these two new members will help PSP continue its vital work to improve the quality of education, workforce development, healthcare, and road safety in the Permian Basin, the release said. Quote, "We are excited to join PSP and support its mission of developing initiatives that strengthen local communities and improve the quality of life in the Permian Basin. PSP is a phenomenal vehicle to pool resources and allow our industry to collaborate with local governments, community organizations, and citizens to implement targeted solutions to our region's most critical needs, including public education, infrastructure, and healthcare," end quote, said Matt Wall, COO of Kintec. Quote, "We believe it's our responsibility to invest in the Permian Basin communities in which we work and live. Joining PSP is the most effective way for our company to put this belief into action," end quote. Since its inception, PSP has helped to transform $106 million in member contributions into $950 million in community-led investments. The release detailed that this is a significant achievement, and it would not have been possible without the support of PSP members. By pooling their resources, PSP members have leveraged their investment power to create real and lasting change in their communities. Quote, "Waterbridge is thrilled to join industry-leading upstream and midstream operators in the Permian Strategic Partnership," end quote, said Jason Long, co-CEO and COO of Waterbridge Resources. quote, PSP's mission of improving the quality of life for Permian Basin residents directly aligns with WaterBridge's commitment to enhancing the communities in which we operate. We look forward to collectively building on the already impressive list of PSP's accomplishments going forward. Kintec is a fully integrated, pure-play, Permianado, Gulf Coast, Midstream, C Corporation operating in the Delaware Basin. The company is headquartered in Midland and has a significant presence in Houston. Kintec provides comprehensive gathering, transportation, compression, processing, and treating services for companies that produce natural gas, LNG, crude oil, and water. WaterBridge Resources LLC is a portfolio company of Five Point Energy that develops, owns, and operates permanent integrated water infrastructure networks to address the long-term produced water management requirements of E&P companies. The company owns integrated produced water pipeline and disposal systems in the Southern Delaware Basin in West Texas and the Arkoma Basin in southeastern Oklahoma. Tall City Blues Fest returns. Midland. Known as the Guitar Whisperer, blues singer Noah Wotherspoon and the members of his band are one of numerous acts that will be performing in the Permian Basin next week for this year's Tall City Blues Fest. After a two-year pause due to the COVID-19 pandemic, this will be the first year back for the Tall City Blues Fest. It's not the first time that Wotherspoon, who resides in Kentucky, has performed at Tall City Blues Fest, and he's excited to be returning. Quote, on many levels, we're thrilled to be coming back, end quote, Wotherspoon said. Quote, we've performed at the festival several times now. It's always phenomenal. They always get a diverse, incredible roster every year. It's just been a unique festival, end quote. The festival, which features some of the top blues music groups from across the country, will take place at 3 p.m. September 24th at the Destination venue in Midland. A VIP kickoff party will take place before the start from noon to 3 p.m. Not only will this year mark the return of the Tall City Blues Fest for the first time since 2019, but it will also mark the 10th anniversary. Quote, it's a festival that we would have had in 2020 and 2021 had COVID not thwarted our efforts, end quote, Tall City Blues Fest producer Lisa Grissom said. Quote, we haven't had a festival for the last couple of years. We're very excited about this year's fest, end quote. There will be a bunch of things that will be different from the last edition of the festival. This year's Tall City Blues Fest will be the first time taking place at the Destination. In the past, the fest has taken place in downtown Midland. It was moved due to construction. Quote, unfortunately, we weren't able to make that work this year with the new park, so we had to find a new venue, end quote, Grissom said. Still, Grissom said she is excited about this year's venue. Quote, they're absolutely amazing to work with and have been outstanding venue partners, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, they have just as much interest in the success of this year's fest as we do, and that's been a blessing, end quote. Also different this year will be that the festival will be just one day. In the past, it was a two-day event. Quote, this year, we consolidated it all into one day, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, what's making it all work is the Destination, end quote. The concert schedule will last from 3 to 11 p.m. Quote, we have seven acts that we're going to showcase on that stage, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, because this is the 10-year anniversary, we went with festival favorites from past years, end quote. The headliner for this year is Mr. Sip, a Mississippi native. Castro Coleman, a.k.a. Mr. Sip, is one of the top three fest favorites and will be making his return to the Permian Basin this year. Wotherspoon will be the final act. Quote, we've made a lot of friends, and I'm a big fan of the acts, end quote, Wotherspoon said. Quote, this year they have Mr. Sip, who I know and love. The Tall City Blues Fest has always been great to us. During the COVID situation, there was a feeling of whether we'd get to play again, so this is a perfect example of being able to return that we're really grateful for, end quote. Mr. Sip made his first appearance at the Tall City Blues Fest back in 2013. Quote, I'm very excited, end quote, Coleman said. Quote, I tell people that Tall City Blues Festival is actually the first blues festival that I played in as Mr. Sip. I had just started. That's how fresh and new I was, end quote. He's been back to the Tall City Blues Fest a couple of times ever since. Quote, he has so many awards and accolades that it's really too long to list to mention, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, he kind of has this scandalous, enchanting style of playing and performing. When he played Tall City in years past, he just won people's hearts, and it catapulted him into the top three of our all-time fest favorites, end quote. Not surprisingly, the name Mr. Sip is derived from his state's name. Quote, I wanted to represent my state as a whole, and I knew the venture that I was going into. I was going to shine a light on my state in a positive light, end quote, Coleman said. Quote, the state backed it, and they're grateful for allowing me to use it and grateful for who I am, end quote. Beginning the music will be the Corbels, who won last year's Greater West Texas Blues Society solo slash duo act. Quote, the purpose of that is to hold a competition that's specifically geared toward blues, end quote, Chrisom said. Quote, the Greater West Texas Blues Society held that last year, and they selected a solo duo group, and the other group was the John Sprott Blues Band out of Lubbock. Both of those acts got sent to Memphis to compete among 250-plus bands from around the world, end quote. The John Sprott Blues Band will take the stage at 7:15 p.m. After the Corbels will be the Tony Barker Band performing on stage, followed by Jet Black. The group, in layman terms, will perform at 5 p.m. and will be followed by Dirty Red and the Soul Shakers at 6 p.m. After the John Sprott Blues Band performs, Mr. Sip will take the stage at 8:30 p.m. Watherspoon will close out the evening when he hits the stage at 10 p.m. Quote, we have several other artists on the lineup that have played the fest before, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, we also have a sprinkle of a few new acts, end quote. Performing at the sponsor and VIP party before the event will be KT and the Blue Scientists. Quote, we're very excited, end quote. Kevin Taylor of the KT and the Blue Scientists said. Quote, playing at the Tall City Blues Fest has been on our bucket list. We want to play that at as many festivals as we can. We've been all around the world and the United States getting to do our thing. We're pretty excited, end quote. Vendors will also be at the festival. Quote, there'll be a kids' corner that has a snow cone truck, face painting, cornhole, and other activities, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, it's an opportunity for general admission folks to come in early and scope out their spots for the kids to enjoy the activities. We have a whole food truck court that we'll be hosting as well, end quote. With the return of this year's festival, Grissom is excited for this year's event. Quote, people are excited, especially after not having the festival the last 2 years, end quote, Grissom said. Quote, we're excited. There's a lot of high energy that's revolving around the festival and the anticipation of it right now, end quote. For more information or to buy tickets, go to tinyurl.com/n69pe6u5.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.